Welcome to Design More, Despair Less. Today, I want to talk a little bit about how user-centered design and human-centered design can be used in new tech industries such as quantum computing and the cryogenics that go into quantum computing or that are needed for quantum computing can be impacted by human-centered design and user-centered design. Before getting into all of that, as always, please subscribe. Subscribe on YouTube. You can follow me on X, BillUPD on YouTube. It's Design More, Despair Less. And you can find the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe there, as well as leave a 5-star review if you find this useful and share it with other people. That would be incredibly helpful for me and a great way to support the podcast and everything else I'm doing here. So in this episode, like I said, I want to talk about how user-centered design can be used to set your company apart and set your company up for success in new tech industries. And specifically, I want to talk about quantum computing industries and industries such as cryogenics, which are basically the infrastructure that quantum computing is based upon. This is an industry that I've been in for quite a while, so that's why it's a great example for me to talk about, something I know quite a bit about at this point. And so I think it's often thought, or it can be thought, that user-centered design, human-centered design, these are just catchy terms, phrases that universities use or programs use to sound like they're doing cool things, sound like they're helping humanity, sound like they're helping people. But once you get out into the real world, maybe these things aren't actually that useful. If your company commits to it, it's just a trend that's not really going to set you apart from the competition. But I think that's wrong. In a lot of ways, I think that's very wrong. And specifically, in industries where you have a new technology that has perhaps come mostly out of research, has mostly been shown to work in research, has spun out of university labs or out of government-funded labs, things like that. You have these technologies that are trying to be productized. They're trying to be turned into something that people actually want to use and buy. And that's a very different world than a product that is, or just an instrument, a piece of equipment that's used in a lab, that's used in a research setting. There's a lot of things that go into it, which set it apart when it becomes a product, right? So if you're in a new tech industry, odds are the equipment you're using, perhaps the equipment you're building, is something that came out of a lab, and it could have been something that was built in a lab quite a while ago. It could be something that is 10, 15, 20 years old, and the technology itself, the design itself, the product of it hasn't really been optimized because people have been so focused on the science side of it. They've been so focused on the research and making sure that the technology itself actually works. Which makes sense at that phase, that's what you need to do. But when you go to productize something, now you have to start thinking a lot more about, okay, who are the users? Who are the people who are going to be working with this every day? Who are the people who are going to be feeling the pain of things that do work, things that don't work? Who are the people that are going to be feeling the cost? The cost is a big part of it, because when something's not user-friendly, it's usually slower, it usually breaks, and usually people don't want to use it because it's not fun to use. They can't get their work done fast. And if you can't get your work done fast or efficiently, now you're spending a lot of time and money, time trying to get it to work right, and money if you break things or if it just has, you know, weak points in the design of it, that's going to cost a lot of money to get fixed. So if you're not taking into account the user perspective, if you're not taking into account the human aspect of that design or the person who's going to be interacting with it, you could be missing out. And if you're someone who's interested in this or good at user-centered design, getting into a new tech field such as quantum computing or cryogenics, like I mentioned, this field in particular, there's a lot of equipment, there's a lot of technology that's still being done in research labs, being developed in research labs. There's a lot of equipment that's been used for a long time in these labs. And so that's what's used at companies because it's what people know. But that also means that there is a lot of room for improvement. There is a lot of room for figuring out how to really turn it into an actual user-friendly product. So the opportunity is quite large, especially in these new tech fields, for user-centered design. And so that makes a lot of sense, right? It's something that you can kind of imagine. You can understand that in a research lab, perhaps the user-friendliness isn't quite as important, although you could argue it still is, but it's not quite as important as when you are trying to productize it and sell it to a much broader audience or to a lot more people. Perhaps you could be working with a piece of equipment that was developed in a research lab and it was just used in this one research lab. And they knew the equipment, they knew how to fix it, they knew all the quirks, they knew all the hacks. But maybe you want to take that and now you want to sell it to people all over the world, to research labs all over the world, government labs all over the world. That's a whole different type of design. So that's where user-centered design, I think, can really thrive and make a huge impact in new tech fields and new tech industries. It also is a great way to set yourself apart from competition. So for example, if you are in a new industry, maybe your competition, if they've been around a little longer, maybe they haven't innovated as much. Maybe they just have something that works. People are buying it because it's the only thing for a long time. But you're trying to break into that industry and you want to create something that is better. It's something that serves your users better. It's something that allows people to get research done more efficiently, allows them to do their job more efficiently, and overall allows the technology to grow and be innovated upon much, much faster. So that's something that can really set you apart from your competition. If you implement good user-centered design, if you implement good human-centered design, you're actually looking at it from the perspective of the people who are going to be working with it, the people who are going to be servicing it, the people who are going to ship it, install all of these different steps that go into the life cycle of a product. And the other benefit is if you make their life easier, that is your customers, if you make their life easier with good design, then they're probably, well, for one, they're going to be more likely to buy your product. They're going to be more likely to actually use your product, which is also important. Sometimes if you have a big grant, you might buy something that if it ends up not being useful, maybe that just sits in the lab for a long time and never actually gets used. So you want it to be something that they are excited to use. And once they do have a good experience with it, they want to use it a bunch. Everyone else in the lab also wants to use it. And now they become your advertisers. They start publishing papers with research that they did on your system. They start talking about it to people they know at conferences. They start posting about it on social media, maybe. All of these different ways that your customers can actually become your best source of advertising. And so that stems from having a product that they love to use and that helps them get their work done. And so those are two major things. One for you as a person who's interested in user-centered design and why you should get into a new tech field and how those skills can translate to making a lot of progress and having a lot of opportunity. But then also looking at the user perspective, it helps them be more efficient, get more work done. They become your advertisers because they love your product. And then finally, some other just very practical and useful implications of this are if your users are more efficient with the product, they understand it, they're probably going to have less errors. They're less likely to break your product while they're using it. And if they're less likely to break it or mess something up, now you have less returns, you have less service calls, less RMAs. These are all things that for you as a business, as a company who's emerging in a new field, it's going to help you at the bottom line, because those things are all expensive. Sending your service engineers out there, having to accept returns, different things like that can really add up in expense, and they can really hurt your bottom line overall. So this is why I think user-centered design is not just a gimmicky word that you hear about in school and that you should never use. I think it's incredibly important, and it's incredibly important for companies that have been around forever. It's very important for Apple. It's great for Ford, right? These companies that have been around for 20, 30, 50, 100 years. But it's even more impactful in a lot of ways for these new companies coming onto the scene, trying to emerge in these new fields. And for me, I've seen that firsthand in cryogenics, which is, you know, the field that is building the infrastructure for quantum computers, you know, building these massive, very technologically advanced, complicated systems to cool down people's quantum processing units, their QPUs, these ion traps, or superconducting qubits, whatever the case might be. These are fields that have not necessarily, cryogenics isn't new per se, but it's really been used a lot in laboratory settings and in settings where people could learn, could become, they were experts. They were experts on the technology, how to use it, how to fix it. But as you're trying to productize that and you're trying to sell it to a lot more people, that doesn't really work. You don't want to have every single person who buys the system or uses the system to have a PhD to be able to understand it, to fix it, to use it, and to use it efficiently. So that's where you should spend time understanding user-centered design. You should spend time learning how to implement it in your job. And if you're looking for a new job and you want to go somewhere where you think you can make a big impact implementing user-centered design and human-centered design, then getting into new fields, new tech fields is a great way to have a big impact and really help the company out and also just have a lot of fun and make awesome, innovative products. So that's my message for this episode. As always, thank you so much for watching, listening. Please like, share, subscribe, all of the things, especially subscribing, 5-star reviews, sharing with friends, family, all those things. All those things are very, very helpful. So thank you very much for listening. As always, please reach out if you have any questions, if there are topics that you want to or you want me to talk about or to dive a little deeper into. I'd love to hear from you. And that is it for this episode of Design More, Despair Less. So thank you so much for watching and listening, and have a great week.